okay, just hang in there. Several more chapters to go, and we would have completed Deuteronomy. It's such a really, really vital book to read and understand. Okay, well, let's take a look at this text. Let's pray together. Now, Father, we pray that you will teach us how to read your word with understanding, with a desire to learn, with a desire to grow from what we discover. And we pray that you will teach us how to honor you in everything that we seek to do, especially in the area of giving. We pray for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, let's take a look at the book of Deuteronomy and 26. And this is something that you want to think about applying. It is such a rich concept of learning how to give to the Lord's work. Okay, let's take a look at this very, very carefully. Right. Now, and it shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. Now that is really, really an important part of it. Sometimes we don't realize how important it is to actually prepare the heart and the mind when it comes to giving. That we really need to think about this. A lot of times we just give almost unthinkingly, and that is not honoring to the Lord. Right? So this is really in anticipation. This is what are we going to do? And I think that a lot of times we don't actually plan our giving. This is planned giving. And planned giving is actually correct giving. That is how it should be. Right? So this is really, really interesting to take note of. Okay? So this is something that you think about, you plan ahead of time. It shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. And you possess it and you dwell in it. Now, remember this, when we talk about this idea of inheritance, look, they had nothing. We always begin with, I had nothing. One, worse than nothing. I'm a slave, whole family, for generations slaves in Egypt. Right? And now you talk about an inheritance. That's saying a lot. Right? So it's good for us to think about what is our mindset when we plan. Well, this is what we are looking at. God is giving it. And one, you are going to possess it and you are going to dwell in it. Sometimes we just fail to understand and appreciate what is this really, really, really means. Okay? This is important. So when you plan, you've got to think about, why am I planning all these things? What about, I mean, we all start with nothing. If we start with minus, that is even more serious. And then we have possession, we have inheritance, we have dwelling, and we're still not happy. And there is something wrong somewhere. Unfortunately, very often when we don't have, and then we have, it's very hard to let go. And this is something that we need to learn. We need to address our heart, our mind, our very spirit. Why so hard to give? Why so hard to to think of the Lord or to plan our giving? Now, this is important. That you take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land, that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, twice it is mentioned, giving you. Hello, it is God gave this to you, okay? You didn't actually... It's given. How can you explain what is the word, the opposite of given? Not given. You didn't earn it. You're going into the land. God is going to give this to you. How else can we explain and understand and appreciate that which has been given? It's given to you. What are you going to do with it? Well, that's what we want to think about. Think about very, very carefully, okay? Sorry. Okay, now, you think about this idea of it, okay? Now, the first of all the produce. Now, usually when you plant something, the first of the produce as it comes out, not a whole crop, there will always be what we call first ripe fruits. Well, Michael talked about how he missed the first ripe fruits. The first ripe fruits are usually not as sweet. Right? Think about this. About it, you all, it's a, what we call a cultivated taste, you know? It's not straight away you got it kind of a thing here. Some people like things a little bit sour, a little bit not so ripe yet. I frankly don't like too ripe things. Anything that is mushy, I really don't usually like it, whatever it is. It could be banana, too ripe, oh, I don't like it. It could be anything that becomes on the ripe side. Some people like that stuff, and some people don't. I prefer the not-so-ripe one. It could be anything. Right? But that it is. So the Lord said, hey, this is the first fruit. And you put it into the basket, it go to the place where the Lord chooses to make his name abide. That is a place of worship. Not yet, but it will be there. Okay? So you're going to bring a basket. Usually a basket will tell you it's a small amount. You know, asking you to bring a cartload. Now, a cartload would be tough. But it is only a basket full. I think that's something we're going to do. In some of the rural American churches, harvest time is like that. They call it cornucopia. Right? And the table, the communion table in front of there, is usually laden with fruit. And it's very nicely decorated. It's called first fruit. They actually practice this. So there will be sheaves of whatever. It could be corn, it could be, whatever is in season. And the people will bring it as their sort of Thanksgiving. And it's not harvest yet fully. So end of harvest is a different thing entirely. But, you know, they were going to sing called hay rites and things like that. So there's pile a lot of hay. And then get a lot, all the people, would you like to go for a hayride? And a lot of people climb on top of it and then just have a, you know, ride around town just for the fun of it, yelling, shouting, harvest is over. You have to be a farm person in order to appreciate this. Now, it's a hard thing for people. Let's say that you don't know whether it's going to be a full harvest. Every bit is precious. So you have to work on faith. I hope you understand. This is harvest given, produce the first ripe ones, and it is given to the Lord. I think that is really, really kind of special. Okay? Now, you got to take the trouble, find a basket. You cannot say, I got no basket, therefore I don't do it. You must not make, well, it's very far away, how? You must not make all kinds of excuses. It's too far away, I don't have a basket, and the basket very heavy, and what happens if the grapes, we need a few people to carry. We all cowards, come on, never make excuses when it comes to giving, no matter what. See, this is something you need to plan. Okay? Now, these are all planned things, you know, you must understand. And then you shall go to the one who is priest in those days, whoever it is. Right? This is the The person in charge, the liturgos, the person who is there, it, whatever is a priest for the day. You got a fish of the day, you got a soup of the day, you also have the priest of the day. So, yeah, I mean, they all take turns, you see, to actually go down there. I'm on duty today. I mean, medical also have got duty for the day, isn't it? So, I mean, in the army, there are also people, a duty officer for the day. That's fine. And every day, in any place, you always have somebody on duty for the day, whoever it is. Don't need to go to a specific priest. They should be all understood that they are serving the Lord. Okay? And then you must say to him. Now, that is a declaration. Now, this is a really, really important. We don't do this today. Actually, it's a nice to have. But probably we are not going to be able to declare. Okay, you're going to give today? I declare today. Wow. And it's a nice declaration. I wish we could have that. But of course, it's not going to happen because this is the old olden days. Okay? To the Lord your God. And then this is your. I declare to the Lord your God. Sometimes it is to another reading. I declare to the Lord my God. Or declare my our God, that's what it is. In other words, it's a declaration made to the Lord in the hearing of a priest. Right? This was a practice that Nehemiah had as well. When the people made an oath, he said, let's do it before the priest. So they make it official. Right? So that is how it is. I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Now, that is a solemn thing, okay? Because it will require you to almost understand the book of Exodus, right? This is the idea here. I've come to the country which the Lord swore to our father. And this is what the Lord promised. But let's look at Exodus to get a flavor of this, okay? And in Exodus chapter 1, and we read of how the people were oppressed, obviously oppressed, right? And they were made slaves. This is what, but then they went through a lot of problems. All male children were killed, right? So then in chapter 2, we read how the Lord heard their groaning, remembered his covenant, looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Right? So this is something that has been mentioned. Then later on, in chapter 3, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, and all that, to a land flowing with milk and honey. So that was the idea. In other words, they must not forget their sojourn in Egypt. Now, I think this is very important. So when we give, please remember, once upon a time, remember the past. Never forget the past. Right? Once upon a time, we didn't have enough. And every dollar counted. Right? Now it's Starbucks, $5, $6, $7, and we think nothing of it. Or Gong Cha, or whatever it is that you is your favorite drink. And you don't mind spending, wow, I don't know how much Gong Cha costs because I don't take that stuff. But I've seen people take that stuff and then they don't just buy one cup. And it's all sugar stuff. And then it's just... I mean, we sometimes forget what we didn't have. So it's important. Remember the past. That's the idea. Right? Remember, this is what... remember the Lord. Remember His promise. Remember Egypt. Remember the past. When every time you give, you remember the past. That gift becomes so much more meaningful. Right? We go on further. Then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. So there is an official reception. So first, part one, okay? You bring this to the priest. The priest will receive it from your hand, and he will place this on the altar for you. You cannot go down there, can I do it myself? You can't. You got to have proper regard, proper respect. The altar is not for you to go in, look into it. See, over here, we don't have an altar. It's a blank stage. Now, you ever go down to St. Andrew's Cathedral, if you walk around there, or if you want to go afternoon, you just want to stroll into the thing there, and you come across their hall, and you know, the worship hall, and then there is a place that is sort of cordoned off. And it will have a little statement there. You're not allowed to go into that area. This is their altar area. Okay, they will ask you to respect. And then they will also have a little bit of a flyer. Our church believes in the giving of communion. Don't expect messages and sermons and all that, so that people will not go down there with the wrong expectation. That's what it is. They will have singing. They will have a reading of the scriptures. They will serve communion. Okay, that's it. And they will actually tell you ahead of time so that you don't expect, where's the message? Well, that's it. I mean, seriously. So this idea of the altar is, we don't have this. Right? We really don't have this. The altar is the meeting place where you bring everything to God. Right? Now, you think about this thing here, and I think that's something that we don't want to take for granted. Okay, you set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. Okay. Now that's part two. Okay, part one is acknowledgement. I declare today to the Lord my God, or our God, I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. So I come, and I never forget that Canaan is a gift. This is the promised land, right? This is a land flowing with milk and honey. I must not forget this. The Lord's hand is there. And the priest says, okay, I hear you. I will receive your gift on behalf of the Lord. He will take your gift and place it on the altar there. It is given to the Lord. Right? Now, then we go on to the next part of it. And you shall answer and say before the Lord your God. Now, this part is actually, to me, a very beautiful text. It really is a beautiful text, because a lot of time when we give, we don't put a lot of thoughts into what we give, why we give, and so on and so forth. Right? But let's take a look at this view. To me, this is a very, very beautiful statement. Okay? My father was a Syrian. Sometimes the old translation is, my father was an Aramean. Not that, where did they come from? Anywhere but here. Right? So when we talk about Syria and things like that, you know, you must, they came from another country. See, so you've already, don't talk about Egypt. I'm out of there. I'm coming to the land. But for a while, I stayed in Syria, as it were, before. Right? Before they actually came into the land. Well, that is what we are looking at. Okay? So my father was a Syrian. Okay, about to perish, he went down to Egypt and dwelt there. You remember the old, the days when Jacob was there? Where was the place that they had to stay before went down to Egypt? It was called Syria. Right? So now we're going back all the way. We're tracing this. My father was a Syrian, not citizen, just in the land of Syria, right? So they were staying there for a while, and then they went into Egypt and dwelt there. Few in number. 70 people. Round numbers. That's it. Right? To have 70 people, and then in four generations to have over 1 million people is nothing short of astonishing. I mean, that is how it worked. I mean, this is something that is pretty amazing as we take a look. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, populous. Not China, okay? This is just, from 70, if you double it, it's only 140, right? And you double it again, 280. You know, you cannot do it every day because it takes 9 months. So every year you double it. It's a lot of people. Things go well. People don't die. They live for a long time. And more people are getting married and so on and so forth. And that is absolutely amazing. Right? So from 70 to what it is, and that is something that is, yeah, okay? So this is Exodus 1, right? The people became populous, so much so they were a threat. But the Egyptians felt they are a threat. If enemies attack us, we attack from within, we are sunk. Well, that was the idea. Okay? They never forget Egypt. But the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, laid hard bondage on us. Now, I don't know what is in your mind whenever you give. Most of us give and then either we don't think about it or we're very calculative when we give and we're not having the right thoughts. We should live bearing in mind our humble beginnings. My father was a Syrian, referring to Jacob. Right? And then you can go back to how about Isaac, how about Abraham. Don't worry, don't go too far because then it becomes... you'll be staying there forever before the gift. Ripen already. The harvest is now ready to be reaped. No, you just summarize everything. This is called a summary statement. But it's a beautiful statement. It tells you that you never forget. Right? So that is something that we need to look at. Then we cried out to the Lord God of our fathers. And the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. This is Exodus 1 and 2, very clearly. Right? So that is an important part of it. And this is where the Lord has heard and answered our prayer. In other words, it's going to be a thanksgiving gift. That's the idea. Thank God we can give. Thank God that we can do this. And I think that is absolutely important. Okay? So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror, with signs and wonders. Remembering the 10 plagues. Right? Beginning with the blood. Then after that, the frogs. And so on and so forth. All those plagues are not forgotten. Okay? They're not mentioned apart from Exodus, but there it is. So you got to remember this. Remember them. Okay? Then we read. The Lord brought us out with a mighty hand, outstretched arm, great terror, signs and wonders. That is amazing. Summary. Then we go on further. He has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Right? You see, I mean, I like this idea of thought, of appreciation, of acknowledgement, of thanksgiving for all that the Lord has done for us and given to us. then that makes our giving so much more meaningful. It's so much more enriched, as it were. I think that is something that we want to consider. Okay? And then we take a look at this land. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Now, this is like a formal prayer, you know? Right? This is like a formal prayer. And you have to, it's all crafted out for you. This is what you must say to the Lord. Which is a pretty good idea of what the formal prayers were like in the early days. Okay? So everything is carefully crafted out, very carefully stated. And that is absolutely important. Okay? And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Right? Now, this is a very formal gift. This is called the first fruits gift. And if you take a look at this, you begin to realize that there are many, many things that you really want to take a look at. You mustn't think that it's all there is to it. There's much more to this than you realize. Okay? There are different types of offerings, you know. You mustn't be able to say, okay, I'm giving my tithe. No. This is not tithe. This is a first fruits offering. Now, that is, there's a lot of difference in the first fruits offering that is there. Okay? And then, now behold, I brought the first fruits which you, O Lord, have given me, and you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So it ends there, 10, the first part of it. Then there's a part is the conclusion of it all. You see the whole idea? See, sometimes we think in terms of all the many, many types of gifts. So if you think that you've done your part already because you've given your tithe, you miss the point. It's not. Okay? So think about your giving and you think about, okay, now I must plan. What are the thoughts in your mind as you plan each gift? You must plan very carefully. I must remember, once I was there, enslaved and all that. Then the Lord was there for me. And then the Lord helped me. Then the Lord blessed me. Then the Lord ministered to me. Then the Lord signs and wonders shown to me. This is a very richly understood gift giving. Unfortunately, not many gifts are given along these lines. But they should. They really, 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 really should. And unfortunately, it is not as well understood this. Okay? Now, that's something that we need to look at. Okay? Then, look at this verse 11. So you shall rejoice in every good thing the Lord your God has given to you and your house. Right? Now, we often don't realize this. Where is the rejoicing part? And after we give it, sometimes we forget. We don't know how to rejoice when we give. See, all part of the giving idea. The idea of worship, idea of giving. I think that is important. I am very, very scared of digital banking coming too far. Now everybody, let's now give everybody. And then it's a frightening thing. Oh, today I forgot my iPhone. Then I cannot give today. I mean, to me, that is dangerous. Okay, amen. Press. Send. No, I'm just very afraid that this will happen one of these days. Everything so big, electronic. How do you collect money electronically? Okay, you're all done with it. And after, I am very, very, the act of offering is lost along the way. So it's not, you see the formal way in which it's all, there's some things must not change. No matter how everything is digitalized and everything, something just must not change the way. The beauty of it is gone. How can it be? How beautiful can it be when it is all so mechanical, it is so impersonal, and so there's not much meaning, unfortunately. So I really like to hear the sound of paper when I... Not that you there's no other mean, but look at the whole idea. There's somebody to receive it. And you put it on there and then nobody... What? I mean, that is kind of unfortunate. Okay? But you think about what this is. Let's go on further. And as we take a look at this very carefully, see? Okay, you shall rejoice, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. How do they come in? Where does a Levite come in? Where does a stranger who is among you come in? See, now that is a wider perspective. So when you give, there must be a wider perspective all the time. And that is a wider perspective. Okay? Remember, you have a home to dwell in. The Levite has to go wherever he is needed, wherever he is sent. Right? So he's got to assist. He will always be an assistant somewhere because he is a Levite. Right? The sons of Korah don't like to be called assistants for life. Unfortunately, and they rebel. We are just as holy as you are. We are just as consecrated. We're doing the same work. How come you get to be priests and we don't? That's the Lord's arrangement. Right? But unfortunately, there was resentment. And that earth opened up. And that became a problem for them. So they are going to be remembered. Remember, God has always thought of the Levites. Even if they were to be given the role of being a Levite, an assistant, the Lord thought of them. Now that is important. Right? So we just thank God. They say the humility of the Syrophoenician woman was crumbs from the table. I would be so grateful. We just don't know how to understand and appreciate crumbs. We all want more than crumbs. Can I sit at your table? Hello. Can't. Well, this is the Levite. And the stranger. Right? The stranger cannot even offer, you know. This worship place, you can't even enter in. There is a little outside place for you to look around. That's about it. You can't come in. You really can't come in. I went to a synagogue over in Yangon. Look around there. It's very, very hard. Small, old, tired looking, and nobody is there. Please come back, make an appointment, we'll show you around. The person was not even there. I don't know how many Jews there are there, but I'm not so sure they can even find 10. We're supposed to have at least 10 before they can hold a service. It's tough, but so far, nobody seems to be there. But then there are what we call Burmese Jews, you know. They are Burmese Jews. They actually keep, you know, but they are called Jews. Some of them actually qualified and then they were accepted into Israel as full citizens. So there are people who see themselves, they eat kosher food, they keep the laws, they think, behave, read the Torah as best they can. But I have not seen them. I mean, I know it's there existing, but I've not seen them. Maybe I must make another effort to go and see where they are and just talk to them. But it's very hard. So that did the Levites. See, sometimes, till today, this is what Israel does. If there are 10 Jews, they will send a rabbi from Israel. Literally, they will send a rabbi. In Bombay, they were there. Mumbai, they sent a rabbi there. They built a synagogue for the Jews who were there, who trade with Indians. They will send anybody. Right now in Afghanistan, there are only two Jews. They don't have anybody. You know, an interesting thing, I was reading about these two chaps, and then they quarrel. Then they said, we better make up with each other, because if I'm death, and I'm dead or dying, you can read Kaddish for me. The prayers for the dead. Yeah, then they got back together. But so they're very, very fixed in their ideas, you know. So if there's death, you must read certain prayers. And so it's the same thing here. So even when they make an offering, this must be very formally. They don't collect offering the way we do. Right? But they don't need to. So if there is a war effort, you know, one of the Sabbath down there, they will collect 100 million. I'm serious. Which is not an uncommon thing. Just like they want to collect how many 100 million for the Notre Dame. In 1 week, they will collect 850, close to $1 billion in just 1 week. That's the kind of wealth that they have, which actually is what it is. But they were, in the early days, produced, remember, the Levites and the strangers among you. So, in other words, this giving must be with thought. Now, that is important. Okay, now look at verse 12 now. When you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing. Ah, that is something else. So, there is another type of offering. And this one, you see, why third year? Well, because if you are looking at an agrarian society, okay, so the first year, you take the first fruit, and then you offer it. Now, you've got to take the seed of the first year's crop to sow for the second. It will take faith, you know. The seed will be sowed for the second, and then you wait for the third year to have a full harvest. So you will take 3 years. Right? First year, second year, third year. And then you give. You bring your tithe to the Lord. The tithe of your increase in the third year. Now, you have to have faith. God, you are going to give me an increase, right? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Possibilities. 30, 60, 100-fold possibilities. Okay? God will supply the need. What are we going to do? Now, it is meant for the Levites, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow. Now, later on, when you read Nehemiah chapter 5, he is hopping mad. He is very angry with the people, the nobles and the rulers. What are you doing? Well, I'm going to give you food, but you owe me, you know. Then they tally. You need money, right? I can loan it to you at interest. And then they charge the interest. Wow, that can be quite a serious problem, obviously. Right? So remember, so that is your first fruits. Then you've got to plan for your third year of giving. I don't know whether people actually plan for 3 year giving, but that is how it is. Now, it will take faith, it will take thoughts, it will take planning. It will take heart, right? A lot of people don't plan their giving, unfortunately. It's as and when, if and when, how and when. It's not great giving. I think that is important, right? So every time there is an increase, now what shall I do with the increase, right? You see, the government plans ahead for you. CPF will take it. That's your first problem. Your taxes will take it. That's another thing. A GST will also take it. Whether you like it or not, that's how it has to be. Otherwise, we're not going to have good roads, good hospitals, and so on and so forth. you know, or an army or whatever we take for granted. But that is something that we must seriously give consideration. Right? But remember, apart from that, there are many other people who will need. The Levites who teaches the Lord's word must be thought of. What about the stranger? We've got to bear in mind the stranger. Right? Then the fatherless, and then the widow. See, a lot of times we don't know how to think about this thing, so we must always practice it. This is why when we practice as a church, we give to Bredel Heights Community Center as well, so we can always think of the stranger, the fatherless, right? The widow, and all the others. This is what we must do. And that is not something we're going to begrudge them all the time. So we keep on asking now, if there are other special needs like that, please let us know. So that we can practice this thing. Otherwise, when people give towards the Lord's work, we just are so happy because we got more. Don't. It's not meant to make our church have the funds to be expanded so that we can be rich. That is the last thing you want to do. There it is. Right? And yet, it is not just a social program. It teaches us to have a heart for other people. Like, that is important. So whenever we see people who are, whether in Myanmar, they're caught up with all kinds of problems and difficulties, things that they don't understand, uncalled for, well, listen, we help them, as we should. Right? So these are things that we must really consider all the time. And that is something that we don't want to take for granted in any way, at any time. Okay? Now, here we go on further. When you have finished, then you shall say, see, now this is the third part, right? Part one. Part one is when you say, I declare today. Right? Part one. To the Lord, my God, the Lord, our God, I have come to the country. Thank God, just to come to the country is thanksgiving enough. Okay? Now, the second part of it, I remember my history. My father was a wandering Syrian. All right? This is important here. The word is Syrian. The old King James, wandering Aramaean. What is the idea? Where are we going to go? Okay, now we come to this part of it. Remember history, Egypt. Remember suffering, Egypt. Now I'm coming to the land of plenty, milk and honey. Right? So that is something that you need to look at, and we shall, then I will worship. Then I will rejoice. Remember Psalm 68. The righteous shall rejoice exceedingly. Well, that is it. That is your exceedingly rejoicing part in worship, as we should. So every time we come to worship, remember, please come exceedingly joyful rather than just slowly walking. You know, I mean, the tiredness of worship, it just scares me to death. It should never be. This must be with the greatest sense of joy when we step in, when we come up to the pulpit, the exceedingly great joy must flow. That is taught here. Psalm 68, right here as well, that, as it should be. Now, the third part. Then you shall say before the Lord your God. Now, what are you going to say? You must say, I have removed the holy tithe from my house. Whoa. In other words, you have set it apart. Okay? You mustn't begrudge this gift. It is a tithe to the Lord. It is a holy tithe. Can you see this? So that's a first fruit part. That's a third year part. Right? Now, that's it's a tithe of the increase. Now, this is now to be presented to the Lord.
I have removed the holy tithe from my house and also have given to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow. Right? According to all your commandments which you have commanded me, I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. Now, that is an important thing. Right? I was reading the story of in Poland, Warsaw, and how it was. 1937, things became very, very hard. Jews were told, you're not allowed to go to university. It was tough. They still sneaked in somehow. Then 39. Now that is important. So 39. August and September, Hitler attacked. He's already taken over Czechoslovakia. Now they are into Poland. And the Polish people were saying, we will resist them. In a month, they were literally crushed. And you know, a lot of people don't know how to fight. There was a small little boy, and they were quite a lot. 200 of them, it was an orphanage, run by a medical doctor, Dr. Kozak. And he was running it. And he would give them an old bachelor, and he gave his life towards looking after. First, there were 200 kids. But he was a Jew. Then he was sacked. All the Polish children were taken out. They would not come under a Jew. So they were suffering already. So 100 Jews left. And some of the kids were there, and they began working, 8 years old. Work in a factory, paid a few shillings, that's it. And then the small boy, 8 years old, sweet little boy, brought home a loaf of bread to give to the mother. He was hungry, but he kept the bread so that it will feed the whole family. That's all they had. And it's really, really sad to see this. And the little ones were all out there working for a living. See? So every time we give, we think of the Levite, we think of the stranger, we think of the fatherless, we think of the widow. And you must be able to say, this is a holy tithe. I've given this to the Lord, and I've not removed it. I've only removed it. This is my portion. This one is a holy tithe. It's consecrated to the Lord. Can't touch it. It must not be abused in any way. That's off we go. This is an important lesson for us to practice. Okay? How? According to all your commandments which you have commanded me. To do anything less than that is to transgress the commandments of the Lord. I have not transgressed your commandments. One. Nor have I forgotten them. In other words, it's God's command. Remember, you learn to practice, you train to keep the heart properly. Okay? Now, we take a look at this is absolutely important. So there are many, many parts to all these things here. Okay? And then I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, nor have I removed it of any of it for any unclean use, nor given it of it for the dead. Now, these were wrong practices. Right? These were all the wrong practices. In other words, these are false practices among the other religions. Right? So this idea of offering food for the dead and all that is not just Chinese, you know. This is in the days of Moses, it was already there. Right? One day there were two people in America, at a memorial, there was a person who went on there, fallen dead, brought some food. Now, this American chap brought some flowers, and he mocked the person. Now, don't mock people. And he says, when do you think the dead will come and eat the food? And the person looked at him, the day when yours get up to smell the flowers. Don't mock people because there are answers to those statements which can be very embarrassing to ourselves. Why do we bring flowers? What are flowers for but to smell? To when do they smell? When they eat? You see, this is, it's not the thing here. But the point of it all is there were no false practices. So when you do it, you know, you are caring for the living. You didn't get involved in false worship practices, idolatrous practices, where they will teach you to give to the dead. That is the idea here. In other words, when we offer worship, it must be purely given to God in worship without any other deities in mind. You shall have no other God before me. That is the idea here. This is the commandment behind this one here. Okay? So this is very important. So the idea of it when it was in mourning, you see, they all have this. There was one program on TV recently about in Taiwan professional mourners. They're still professional mourners, you know, and they really know how to cry. And they really, and they will wear on behalf of the dead. It's because you cannot have the dead with nobody, you see. But then it's not enough people. So they just hire these people, and then they will don the clothes of the mourning for all those who were there, and they have got special food and everything else. All part of a ritual to offer worship for the dead. And they were forbidden. I have not done anything. I have obeyed, I have done according. And then you may say, look down from your holy habitation and bless your people. Right? Now, that is an important thing. Look down upon from heaven and bless. This is the genius behind Nehemiah's prayer in chapter 5. As he, Lord, please remember me for good as I do all these things for you. Yeah, this is it behind us. So this is very ancient, very old way of doing it. Okay? So look down from your holy habitation, from heaven, and bless your people, Israel, and the land which you've given us, just as you swore to our fathers. See, this is important. So this is that part of giving and offering to the Lord. It is planned. It is thought through very carefully. It is offered with joy. It is offered in worship. There has got to be rejoicing. You've got to be very careful. I just take a little. You can't. You know, I've got two cows. You know, one to be given for the Lord, one to be sold at the market. Along the way, one cow died. That was the one that was meant to be given to the Lord. See, that can happen when we start making excuses and we find ways and means to do things like that. I think that is going to be a really, really painful thing. You cannot. We will end up transgressing the Lord's law. See what happened in the book of Malachi? That's what happened. People were offering all kinds of crazy things. This one lame cannot walk, give to the Lord. How can we do that? Right? So every time we give just sloppy things, weak things, useless things, that's why people are very angry whenever they want to give, when they give to charity and all that. And they always write, please don't give the following things. Shirts without buttons. Please don't give. You know, underwear that is so badly stained. Why give things like that? You know, I'm serious. You know, these are the things that people look at and it just grown. Why do people give things like that? Because you don't want to discard it. If you see furniture, a hole down there, and then they give it. What makes you think that the person is going to appreciate it? If you cannot give anything that is meaningful, don't give. It's really, really insulting. Don't give with this kind of heart and spirit. It is just so very wrong. Right? You think about these things here. So when we think in terms of giving and everything else, let's get it right. So the first 15 verses of Deuteronomy 26 ought to be read and reread next time you plan a gift. When you rethink about, when you think about your giving, how am I actually giving? Think, read this particular chapter. And then it will, I hope, alter the very way you think about giving. It really will. It will really bless your heart when you do it with such honor, with such regard for the Lord, and for those who may need this kind of love and support. Right, give it with dignity. I think that is absolutely important. An old Jewish custom, which is to me a very beautiful thing. Some of the old Jews, they do this. Every Sabbath, every Sabbath, they always have a lighting of the candles for the home. Everything is made fresh so that they can have a Sabbath prayer, so that they can say, Lord, please bless Israel. Please bless this home. Please bless all who are there. And they really make a big... Now, let us say that a family is very poor. What may he expect from the neighbors? The neighbors who will practice this will always bake something nice, fresh, and new. This is for your Sabbath. Right? Now, if you will understand, they cannot just anyhow buy fish, you know. You must buy their own, the fish. Fish got no scales, cannot eat. So you got to buy them very carefully, and these are kosher fish. But they will tell you, this one is not suitable for Passover. It's not kosher enough. So there are many, many. We don't have them. You see, you don't go to the, it's only in New York, then you're going to see so many of them actually are Jewish stores. The Jews know how to get them. Because New York is basically Jewish. Essentially. Right? So you'll find a lot of these things. Every other corner you see a synagogue. Every other you see a building. And it's just so, I mean, very, very obviously Jewish. Right? And this is something that you need to think about very, very carefully. Once I was in New York sitting in a cab. And I said, you know... Except when I say, well, there are a lot of Jewish buildings here. Well, he was very angry. He went out the window and the sign on there, he spat. Every big building is Jewish. And then he scolded them. He says, when it comes to the war, that was way back when. It came to the war. All they gave is money. If there's a war, I will quit and go home and fight. And so he despised the Jews. But the only thing they do is they talk big, they write big checks. That's all they do. They never go and fight for their own people. That is how much they are. You know. So many of them are the Middle East minorities, you know. And so they are they end up cab drivers. You don't see a Jewish cab driver. They were probably in, you know, all their hats and all their wrinkles. And it takes a lot of effort, you know, to be able to... And the shirts and all that, you cannot... No polyester rayon thing, you know. It must be pure, you know. Pure cotton, pure whatever, pure linen. Everything must be pure. Jacket also must be pure. No joke, you know. The cost of a suit that they will make, it's not $1,000, can you? That's not good stuff. They rare buy these jackets are 3,000-4,000 because it has to be absolutely pure. The only color, like Henry Ford says, you can choose any color you wish as long as it's black. That's how they choose, only black, nothing else. So it's white and black, all unmistakable. See, and that's how it, I mean, this is how the Jewish community really is very much today. They are actually like that very much today. See, they don't give an offering every week kind of a thing here. But if there are things they want to give, the tithe will come. You know, if it's a special season of harvest and all these things here, you watch the checks. Those buildings are hundreds of billions. They're called temples. And you can understand why they're called temples. Small little thing, not called temple. You call it synagogue. But you watch the big ones there. My goodness. Everyone. It's a very, very... See, that's how they are. And the Lord has blessed them. There's no question about it. It's just that they don't know the Lord very well as they should. Okay? So you think about these things here and when we plan to giving should bring joy to the heart. Giving is a part of worship. Giving blesses the heart. Giving helps other people no end. And giving is such a privilege. Remember, what did we start off life with? Nothing much. Maybe negative territory. And then suddenly we are able to do things with how the Lord has given us. How grateful, how full of joy our hearts ought to be as we think about this. Okay? Well, I'm glad you are here, and may these words, these teachings bless your heart and learn to give. Never begrudge giving to the Lord. Give with the greatest. Thank God we can give. Bless are those who give, not rather than those. If I'm the receiving end, I'm thankful. But I am the one who is really blessed. See, you are able to give. Thank God that we are able to give. Let's pray together. Now, Father, we thank you for the joy that is in our heart because you have blessed us as you have. And Father, thank you for all that you have given to us. And we just want to praise you and honor you for the wonderful God that you are. Teach us, Lord, how to give because you have given so much. Help our hearts to be able to give as we should, with hearts full of joy and thanksgiving. We ask you to continue to teach us that we may always have such a heart to give. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and God bless.